Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook. He would say Avarachamim every Shabbos of the year. It didn't make a difference whether it was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. It didn't make a difference. Shabbos Mevorchim, the Shabbos when you bless the new month. Because he says, today we're not just remembering the Crusades, those who perished, the Kedoshim, the holy Jews who perished during the Crusades. Today we're also remembering the holy Jews that were killed and perished during the Holocaust. And there's no specific time period. It happened every single day of the year. So those who question why was Chav Zayin Nisan selected as that day. And hopefully by the end of this year, I'll try to explain not necessarily why specifically Chav Zayin Nisan, the 27th of Nisan, but why this time period was selected as a time to commemorate those who perished during the Holocaust. So that's one question to understand what is significance, not of the 27th of Nisan, but this time period. The second question that people raise against Holocaust Commemoration Day was that when we try to remember tragedies, the time to remember tragedies for Jewish people is Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day we commemorate tragedies, and as a matter of fact, if someone will study the keynote on Tisha B'Av, so we speak about the fact that the Jews were not allowed back into, were not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael and had to wander in the desert for 40 years. We speak about the destruction of the temple. We speak about the death of Melech Yoshiyahu, who was the last hope for the Jewish people during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple. He was the last hope who maybe could revert the trend and somehow cause the Jews to do tshuva. We speak about the Crusades, the burning of all the Sifrei Kodesh, the holy books in France. And also, in the last number of years, we have started to even write keynote lamentations for those who perished during the Holocaust. That is the day. And in one of the keynote for the Crusades, and you have to understand when this keynote was written, for those people who lived during the Crusades, it was a tragedy of tremendous proportion. And for those people, they felt like their world had come to end. You know, it was before a time of mass communication. Who knew what was going on in the rest of the world? And they speak about the tremendous tragedy of all those that were killed. And at the very end of this keynote, and in most of the keynote books, the book Lamentations, it's keynote number 25, says, they finish off by saying, take this to heart and compose a bitter eulogy. Their murder of those who were killed by the Crusades is worthy of mourning and placing ash, equal to the burning of the house of God, the porch, and the palace. Because it is improper to add a day of breach and conflagration, and wrong to advance the date rather to postpone it. Therefore, today on Tisha B'Av, I will rouse my grief, lament, and wail, and cry a bitter soul, that every tragedy the Jewish people have gone through has been confined to speaking about in Tisha B'Av. That's what the Kina says. And as a matter of fact, the first Rosh Memshalah, the first Prime Minister, who really questioned whether Chav Zayin Nisan should be the day to commemorate the Holocaust, was Menachem Begin. And when Menachem Begin visited the United States, when he was appointed to become the Deputy Prime Minister, he visited the Gedolim, the great giants of American Jewry, my uncle, Rav Yosef Dov Alevi Soloveitchik, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I think also Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, all those who are not with us anymore. And he actually proposed, when do you think we should go ahead and we should commemorate the Holocaust? And all three, my uncle, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rav Moshe Feinstein said, the day to commemorate the Holocaust is on Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. Menachem Begin, I don't think, was happy with the 27th of Nisan being that day for Holocaust Commemoration Day, but he pointed out, I'll say, is that the reason why it can't be Tisha B'Av? Because the only way to make sure the next generation is educated about what happened during the Holocaust is if teachers can speak about it during school. And as we know, most schools, 99% of the schools are not in session in Tisha B'Av, whether it's here or whether it's in America. And therefore he felt there has to be a day during the year when teachers can speak about Yom HaShoah. And it's important. I have to tell you that someone told me, I think I asked this impression from my father, that the effect of the Crusades was felt in Europe. Now today we mourn during Sfirat HaOmer. We think of Rabbi Akiva's students and we speak about We speak about not just Rabbi Akiva students, we speak about the Crusades, but it's really a far memory. But in Europe, because this was set aside for mourning and they spoke about it, and the Abba Rachman was a real tefillah, they felt the Crusades, and therefore in order for people to remember the Holocaust, it's important that we have a day besides Tisha B'Av where we can teach our children, the next generation, about what happened. That was, and therefore, Chav Zayin Nisan remained a day where in the state of Israel and in America, where they commemorate the Holocaust. Before I go on, I would just say that my father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, he actually was okay with the 27th, 28th of Nisan, and my mother too. My mother was a teacher of high school girls in Chicago for many, many years, and Chav Zayin Nisan was a very important day to her. And whether she spoke about it in the house to us, or she spoke about it to her students, there was a feeling in our house that, you know, you do need a day to speak about the Holocaust, to teach about the suffering and the heroism of the Jews who lived through the Holocaust and died during the Holocaust. My mother, the Holocaust left a very special place because she remembered all her cousins, her uncles and aunts, and she'll tell me stories about what happened to them. And I have to tell you, and maybe I'll come back to the end of the year, my mother grew up in a town in Ritava, in Lithuania, and she had very fond memories. As a matter of fact, growing up, my mother would always speak about Ritava. I still remember sometimes when I decided to have something different besides cereal and milk, and I would have bread and I don't know what, she'd say, oh, that's a Ritzvah breakfast. We used to have that kind of breakfast. And then during Pesach, that's what we'd have in Pesach and Ritzvah. It was very important to her. And she actually said to me, though, she would never go back. She would never, ever go back to visit. Because she says, why does she want to see the descendants of those people who were so happy when her cousins and all her friends were sent away to the camps? I hopefully at the end of this year, I'll try to connect. And she actually, that's something that she inspired me with also, the future is Israel. So I'd like to explain a little bit later how we deal with Yom HaShoah not being on Tisha B'Av. And the third question, I'll begin with the third question, is a question raised by Rav Lior and many others. Rav Lior is the Yeshiva Shiva Beit El. He's one of the Rabbanim of Beit El. He has a sefer, a set of Sfarim called Pnei Halacha, and he also questions. What? I'm sorry. Rav Malamed, and he also questions Yom HaShoah. And he says, how can we commemorate a day of mourning during Chodesh Nisan? Chodesh Nisan is a month of Simcha. Chodesh Nisan is a month when we don't say Akel Mali Rachamim. We have prayers for those who have passed on. He says, and he points out, and it could be, I didn't check this out, he says, Yom HaShoah was designated as the day without consulting the Rabbanut. He says, so therefore it's very difficult. So what should we do during the siren? So he has some sort of a message during a siren, thinking about the continuity of the Jewish people, but he also has great difficulty. So I would like to begin with the third question. How can we commemorate the Holocaust during Chodesh Nisan? At the end of this year, hopefully I'll explain why we chose Chodesh Nisan, but how can we do it? So even though we don't say Tachanun, realize that not every sheet of the Rishonim hold, you don't say Tachanun during Chodesh Nisan. I believe the Rambam does not hold that way. And we do say Kel Mole during Chodesh Nisan. We say Kel Mole on Yizkor, on the seventh day of Pesach. And therefore, saying Kel Mole Rachamim, you should know my father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik held, is even Mutter on Chol HaMoed. The custom is not that way, but it is even allowed. I remember at my father's funeral, my father passed away on Chol HaMoed. I was here in Eretz Yisrael. He passed away on Erev Shabbos. I got the news on Motzei Shabbos. They brought my father. He buried here in Eretz Yisrael. I was in Anizus for 2 days. And Sunday afternoon, before they traveled to Eretz Yisrael, there was a funeral in Chicago. And for 2 days, almost 2 days of Aninu, so we had a hookup in my house. I was listening. At the very end, at the end of all that Spadim, someone stood up and said, according to the Pesach of the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal, we're going to say Kel Mali Rachman, because he held you can say Kel Mali Rachman v'chol HaMoed. So therefore, when we say Avar Rachamim, so once that the 27th Nisan is designated as the day to commemorate the Holocaust, there should be no problem There should be no problem in remembering the heroism and those who were killed, as we do when it comes to remembering those of the Crusades during Sfiras Omer. As a matter of fact, if you look a little if you can look a little further in the Mar Makomos towards the end, source number 12, source number 13. So at source number 11, there the Shulchan Aruch mentions source number 11 that we don't say Avarachim in the moral prayer for those who perished during the time of the Crusades when we bless the new month, except for Yemei Svira, and everything goes according to the custom. And then the Magen Avraham says, why? Why is Svira different? And he says, why? Because during that time, that's when the Gzeirot, the decrees of the Crusades happen during that time. So even if there's a Brit Milah on those months, on those days, we go ahead and we say Avarachamim. We go say Avarachamim. However, he says, if Rosh Chodesh Iyar comes out on Shabbos, then we don't. But they're different in Hagim. And the Taz points out, number 13, that you know, when it comes to Sfira, about the morning of Sfiras HaOmer, there's a lot of confusion. But really, the two actions that are forbidden during Sfiras HaOmer is having a wedding and getting a haircut. People ask Shilohs today, can you buy something new? The two things that are usher are getting a haircut and having a wedding. And the Taz points out that having a wedding, that we do during the whole Sfiras. We don't have, that was his custom. I said, obviously the custom has changed, but there are many Rishonim who held you shouldn't have a wedding, a whole Sfiras HaOmer. My father's custom was like that, except for Shoshim Mei Hagbalah. And Lag BaOmer, he would attend the wedding according to Pesach LeShulchan Aruch, but I know when my sister got married, and my sister they wanted to have the wedding during Sfiras HaOmer, and that was one of those years when Sfiras HaOmer was on a Friday. So it's very difficult to have a wedding on Friday unless you live in Eretz Israel. It's very difficult. And so my father said they can have a Shoshim Mei Hagbalah, but the first day of Shoshim Mei Hagbalah was also on a Friday, and Erev Shavuos was on a Sunday. So there's nothing there. So my father's custom was not to start the morning of Sfiras HaOmer until Rosh Chodesh Iyar, so to have the wedding after Pesach. My father said no. He says, a haircut, I'll take before Rosh Chodesh Iyar, but a wedding? A wedding you can't have a whole Sfiras HaOmer. As an aside, I'll say so, they decided to have the wedding in America, Chicago, Illinois, on a Friday morning. And my mother thought she'd get away easy. Who would come to a wedding? You know, it would be a cheaper wedding than the rest of the weddings. And I think 550 people attended the wedding. I'm not sure if they were excited to see a wedding on a Friday morning in Chicago or a Soloveitchik wedding, but whatever, it was a wedding. But so the Taz points out in number 13 that the minhag of not having, he says, the minhag of the Crusade, he says, the minhag of having a haircut came late, of not having a haircut came later on, and that was only during part of Sfiras HaOmer, not the whole Sfiras HaOmer, but having the weddings, that was based on Rav Kiva students dying. But we see that we added customs before the Crusade, so we see that even, and according to many, those customs begin even during Chodesh Nisan. So we see, according to the minhag of many Jews, it's not so bad, or it's not against our Mesorah to have certain mourning customs even during Chodesh Nisan. So in terms of that problem, I think it's not such a difficult challenge to commemorate the Holocaust. And really, is I can't say that there is really a lot of mourning that happens on the 27th, 28th of Nisan, therefore would not be a problem. What I want to spend most of the shir on is the problem that was raised by Moshe Feinstein, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, my uncle, and many others. How can we designate a day to commemorate the Holocaust other than Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av? And I would like to look at the sugya that deals with this issue, and we'll start with source number 1, a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Siman Aleph. And there, Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara is discussing today, we know that we have a fixed calendar. If you want to know when the next holiday is going to be, you want to know when the next Rosh Chodesh is going to be, we look in the calendar on the wall, and we can see, and the truth be told, that if you want to see, you know, short of Mashiach not coming soon, Chas V'Shalom, if you want to see when, you know, Pesach will be in 56 years, it's very, very simple. You can find a calendar that has a 56-year calendar, or a 150-year calendar. It says, but in the days of Chazal, it was very difficult to plan ahead. You couldn't plan more than 2 months in advance, or a month in advance, to know exactly when Pesach was. Why? Because you would have to wait for the witnesses to come, and they would tell you, well, this is the first day of the month, and then you can decide when Pesach is. So, and they knew in Yerushalayim, but how did they find out in the rest of the world when the new moon was, when the first day of the month was. They used to send out messengers. So the Mishnah tells us that for six months they would send out messengers. Why not all the months? There were budget issues, I'm sure, so therefore it wasn't necessary to send out messengers every single month, but only those months where there was a holiday that they send out messengers to let everybody in the Golan know when Rosh Chodesh was. And the Mishnah lists off Chodesh Nisan, they would send out messengers to let people know when the first day of Pesach is, Passover is. And Chodesh Av, they would send out months, Shlichim, to let people know when Tisha B'Av would be, ninth of Av would be. Elul, they would send out messengers so everyone would know when Rosh Hashanah should be. And Tishrei to know about Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And Kislev to know about Hanukkah. And Chodesh Adar, they would send a messenger so everyone should know when Purim is going to be. Okay? Then the Mishnah goes on. So the Mishnah tells us in Chodesh Av they would send out messengers so people would know when to commemorate and to commemorate Tisha B'Av, the ninth of Av. So the Gemara asks the question in source number two, why only Tisha B'Av? There are other fast days. There are fast days in Chodesh Tammuz. There's a fast day in Chodesh Teves. Why weren't we concerned that they should send out messengers even in Chodesh Tammuz and Chodesh Teves? And that's source number two. The Gemara asks, let's messengers go out on Chodesh Tammuz and Chodesh Teves so the Jews and the Gola will know when to commemorate and when to fast to commemorate the tragedies that occurred in the month of Tammuz and the month of Teves. The Gemara says, because when the Jewish people came back to Eretz Yisrael after the destruction of the Second Temple, they were faced with a dilemma. They weren't sure, and after the destruction of the First Temple, they were faced with a dilemma. They weren't sure. They knew they were building a second Beis HaMikdash, and they also knew the second Beis HaMikdash, at least at this point, would not be similar to the first Beis HaMikdash in its glory. It might have lasted 10 years longer, but it wouldn't have been similar to its glory. As a matter of fact, we're told that those who saw the destruction of the First Temple and saw the building of the Second Temple cried because they saw the difference in the two temples. And they said, what's going to be with the fast days? Do we commemorate the fast days during the Second Temple? And the Navi very clearly said to them, during the Second Temple, the Navi said, Tzom ko amar Hashem tzvako, so says Hashem, in source number two, Tzom ha-Ravi, Tzom ha-Chamishi, the fast day in Chodesh Tammuz, and the fast day in Chodesh Av, Tzom ha-Shvi, the fast day of Tzom Gedalia in Chodesh Tishrei, and the fast day in Chodesh Teves, Tzom ha-Siri, will be Lebeit Yehuda, for Sason ha-Simcha, joy and happiness. And the Talmud asks, joy and happiness? You call it a fast and you say a day of joy? And the Gemara says it depends. If it's a time of shalom, shalom means a time that the Beis HaMikdash is standing, and a time when the Jews are at peace, they're not suffering persecutions, then it should be l'sason l'simcha, the fourth somos would be converted into days of happiness, joy and happiness. However, if it's a time of ein shmad ve'ein shalom, which means that maybe there is a Beis HaMikdash, there is a temple, but things aren't going so well for the Jews, or maybe there is no temple, I should say, not at least according to the Rambam, but things are going okay. So then, Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin, then everyone can do what they want. He says, and if it's a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash and the Jewish people are suffering, then you have to fast on all four fast days. So therefore we see that many times the fast days were really a choice. Today the fast days aren't a choice anymore, by the way, I just mentioned. Klal Yisrael is accepted to fast all the fast days. But there's a choice, so therefore it was a choice. They didn't send out messengers for all the fast days. So the Gemara asked, so why Tisha B'Av? Tisha B'Av is different. Tisha B'Av, everybody has to fast. The ninth of Av, everybody has to fast. How come? Because on Tisha B'Av, many persecutions happened. The lashon, the expression of the Talmud is v'chuchbalo butzarot, which means the persecutions were doubled and tripled. What happened in the ninth of Av? Gemara says, the Talmud says, the first temple was destroyed, the second temple was destroyed. Beitar, the great city of Beitar, this last stronghold of Bar Kokhba, was conquered. Yerushalayim was plowed over. So that's why Tisha B'Av is different. So all the Rishonim, earlier commentaries, ask the question, what makes Tisha B'Av so much different than Shiva Shabbat Tammuz? A lot of tragedies happened on Shiva Shabbat Tammuz. The walls were breached. The luchos were broken. Shiva Shabbat Tammuz, Semei Tammuz, is also a day of tragedies. So Tosfos points out, because of the difference, because he says, Tosfos says, that on Tisha B'Av, the temple was destroyed. And nothing compares to the destruction of the temple. Also, on Tisha B'Av, the same calamity happened twice. Destruction of both temples. That's Tosfot. The Ritva and the Rashba, they have a different approach. And the Ritva and the Rashba, so they point out that, what does it mean? He says, on Shiva Shabbat Tammuz, he says, yes, there were tragedies. The luchos broke. The Torah was safe, the Torah was burnt. He says, but you should know, he says, that Shiva, every tragedy stands on its own. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, the Ritva points out and the Rashba point out, every tragedy comes together. And if you look at source number 4, he says, the fourth line, he says, even according to the Yerushalmi, that the walls were breached. And the 70th Tammuz, at the destruction of both temples. He says, however, he says, you should know, Huchbulu Atsaros Tvei. Why? He says, because, he says, the temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av, Beitar was conquered, and the city of Yerushalayim was plowed over the first and second time, even though we really hear of only the second, after the second destruction, the second temple was plowed over, but the Ritva says it was plowed over the first time, for the first destruction also. He says, it points out that it doesn't say Tisha B'Av, a lot of persecutions happened. Huch below Bot Sarat. Persecutions were doubled. What does it mean were doubled? So he says, number one, our forefathers were decreed not to go into the land of Israel. When the spies came back with the evil report of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, it was decreed they shouldn't go into the land of Israel. And then he says the first temple was destroyed. That's one group. Then the second group, the second temple was destroyed. And then Beitar was conquered. That's the second group of tragedies. And he says, we put the things together in groups. Why am I teaching when they put things together in groups? And the Rashba, he says, the Rashba points out the same idea. The Rashba points out, at the very end, he says that even though maybe the walls were breached during the time of the first and second temple on the 70th Tammuz, lo hukfulu tzoros kol kach, wasn't doubled as much. What does it mean? In other words, how do we explain? All of a sudden, the Ritva ties and the Rashba ties together the tragedies. Why is he tied together the tragedies? So I'd like to just continue with a Rambam, and then after continuing the Rambam, we can go ahead and we can, answer and explain the Ritva and the Rashba. So the Rambam in Hilchas Tainis Perikei Halacha Bav points out, what are the fast days? The Eluhim, the third of Tishrei, that was the day that Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed. Who was Gedaliah ben Achikam? After the first temple was destroyed, the Jews were allowed to remain in Israel under the governorship of Gedaliah ben Achikam. There was allowed to be a remnant of Jews that would remain, and Gedaliah was killed. And then after Gedaliah was killed, we know that was what drove the Jews to leave Israel, and land of Israel was barren for many, many years. The 10th of Teves, that was when the Melech Bavel lay siege to Yerushalayim in the time of the first temple. The 70th Tammuz, five things happened. The Ten Commandments were broken. The Tumid, that which the daily sacrifice was stopped in the time of the first temple. The walls of Jerusalem were broken during the time of the second temple. Apuspamas of Russia burned the Torah. And an idol was put up in the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Halach Gimel, what happened on Tisha B'Av? The Rambam says on Tisha B'Av, it was decreed the Jews should not go into the land of Israel. The first and second temple were destroyed. The Nilka the Ir of Gedola, a city was conquered, his name was Beitar. And there were thousands and 10,000 Jews there. And there was a great king. And the Jews thought, and the Gedolei Chachamim thought he was the Mashiach. And he fell in the hands of the Danan Jews and they killed him. and everyone was killed. And it was a great tragedy, like the Beit HaMikdash. And then the Rama mentions the fifth tragedy that occurred. Ubo bayom hamuchan luparanis charash teres nrupis harasha mimalchi edom esahecha v'svivav lekayam tzion sada techaresh. And that day that was designated for paranis, for tragedy, teres nrupis harasha, burnt the cloud over the hechel and around it, to fulfill the pasuk that Tzion will be a plowed field. Why does the Rambam add in these words, Ubo bayom, bo bayom, on that day that was that hamuchan l'paranus? So I heard, I think from my father, I think this is an idea that was passed down in my family, I don't remember. But what the Rambam is teaching us here is that bo bayom, if you want to know when a tragedy happened, if you don't know when it happened, you have to assume it happened on 9th of Av. You have to assume it happened on 9th of Av. And if you look at source number 7, the Gemara is discussing what's the source for all the tragedy that happened in Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara, God brings all the sources. Nilka the Beitar, Beitar's Gemara is accepted. Nechro Shair, the Gemara does not tell us what the source is. I don't know if we know the source, but the fact is we accept that it happened on Tisha B'Av because Bo Bayom, on that day, that's the day of Aranis, it has to be on Tisha B'Av. So why does the Ritva and the Rashba mention, why does Ritva and the Rashba mention that the tragedy of Tisha B'Av are coupled together? So someone once asked my father, I once saw this question, I once mentioned in front of my father, someone asked, what was a greater tragedy? The Holocaust or the destruction of the Second Temple? Okay, if you read the stories, destruction of the First Temple, Nebuzaradan, the general of Babel, the thousands and hundreds of thousands that he killed at the altar because he came into the temple and he saw blood bubbling, and he asked, you know, whose blood is this? And they told him it's the blood of animals, so he wanted to neutralize the blood, so he brought blood of animals to slaughter them, and it wasn't neutralized. And then he told them it was the Navi Zechariah who they killed, who gave them, it was the prophet Zechariah who came to rebuke the Jewish people, and they killed him. And the blood was bubbling because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still angry. So he went ahead and according to the Gemara, he slaughtered thousands and thousands of Jews. Besides everyone else who was slaughtered. And you read what Josephus writes. There were hundreds of thousands, not millions of Jews that were slaughtered during the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. The tragedies that occurred and the suffering of the Jewish people. And I remember someone asked, what was the greater tragedy, the Holocaust or the destruction of the temple, first or second? Everyone was giving what they thought. And my father said, I remember, he says, you can't ask a question like that. Because he says, the Holocaust is the destruction of the Second Temple. Because when we as Jewish people look at every tragedy is connected to the Churban Beit HaMikdash. It's a continuous Churban Beit HaMikdash that has happened from the time of the Chet HaMeraglim till our day. And as a matter of fact, the Gemara tells us, describes Beitar. And if you look and see what Beitar was, the last stronghold of Bar Kokhba, talks about, it was a city that had more people than Yerushalayim. And it talks about all the Batei Sefer, the Hadarim, the Yeshivas, the Shuls. Gemara talks about when they went ahead and they conquered Beitar, the blood of the Jews that were slaughtered at Beitar reached to the sea. If you can imagine how much blood that is, it's not humanly possible. All the way from Beitar, and Beitar is in the same area as it is today, to reach the sea. Bob pointed out, it's symbolizing the blood of all the Jewish people that were killed over generations because they were Jews. Because we look at the Churban together as one tragedy. That's my thought. I thought you can explain what the Ritva and the Rashba point out. That yes, Chukbalo Botsaris, they all go together. Because everything that happened that we commemorate on Tisha B'Av is all one tragedy. Especially when we speak about the fact that people were killed. If you go ahead and you look, the tragedy, the tragedy of Yom HaTzimut, we're not commemorating tragedies. We're not commemorating the death of Jews. When we speak about, as Ritva points out, we speak about commemorating death of Jews, it all goes together in one tragedy. It's all one big destruction of the temple. And that's what Tisha B'Av is all about. Tisha B'Av is about commemorating destruction of the temple. And we have seen the destruction of the temple all the Jews for years and years and years. And the Holocaust was another continuation of the destruction of the temple. And that's why Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, my uncle, felt that the day to commemorate the Holocaust is on Tisha B'Av. However, does that mean we can't have other days? Truth is, they waterproof from one of the keynote lamentations, which they on Tisha B'Av. They didn't want to designate another day to commemorate the Crusades. So I would just say, first of all, I don't know necessarily that we have to decide Pesach Halacha based on what's written in the keynotes. For example, most of us don't do this today, but if you look, you know, before Pesach, on Pesach, during the Arba Parshiot, the four Parshiot, the four special readings of the Torah, we have what's called Yotzrot. We speak about a lot of halachot, about what the meaning of the four special Parshiot are. We speak about that. And if you look, I remember once looking at the Yotzrot, the special poetry that we say on the Shabbat before Pesach. And it was a review of the halachot to Pesach. And I saw that, you know, one of the halachot that's mentioned in this poem, we don't paskin that way. So, because if you remember, it was written by different Rishonim, they had different Piskei Halacha. And the truth is, as my uncle pointed out, that this Kina was written by from the Rav Klonimus. Rabbeinu Tam might have disagreed, as I'll see in a minute. So maybe we do add other days. That's one point. A second point is Rav Moshe Feinstein, in source number 8, they raised this question to Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says, and as far as the gzeros, the decrees that happened, he says 10 times 600,000, because 6 million Jews were killed through the wicked people, Hitler and his friends. Their memory should be blotted out. So maybe there should be a day to commemorate their death. So he mentions this kina, this lamentation, and he says, we don't do this. He says, why? Because we don't go ahead and we don't set another day as they didn't do in time of the Crusades. So he asked the question, but Chaf Sivan, in Europe, Chaf Sivan was a day to commemorate Gzeiros Tach V'Tat, when Chmielnitsky ran over the Jews of Poland and massacred many, many Jews. So he says, we see we can commemorate another day. So Moshe Feinstein is Mechadesh, and I think it's actually very B'chiddush, that, no, there's a difference between what happened and we commemorate Chaf Sivan and the Holocaust. Why? Because what happened when Chmielnitsky killed so many Jews, that was a local problem. It affected only Poland. It wasn't a national, universal problem for Jewish people. So to commemorate something that happened locally, that's okay. But to commemorate something that happened on a universal level all over the world, the Jews all over the world were afraid of Hitler. That has to be retained for Tisha B'Av. So first of all, I would mention that I think that Tisha B'Av is a day of individual tragedies also. There is a medrash that I think it was Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was once lived next to a certain widow. And the widow had some young children. She was taking care of her children. And she was very busy the whole day. She couldn't think about, you know, the fact is she's alone, without any help, any support. And finally, when she would get her children to bed at night, she would sit and cry. And when Leo would hear the widow crying, he would begin to cry for the Beis HaMikdash also. Why? Because every tragedy is connected to the Beis HaMikdash. Even local, personal tragedies, is all connected to the destruction of the Second Temple. But beyond that, I think that Chaf Sivan doesn't just commemorate a local tragedy that happened in Poland. It really was begun, it started, because of, at that time, what seemed to be a tragedy that affected Jews in the entire region, and maybe beyond. And the Rabbeinu Tam, the great Baal Tosfot, he was the one who designated the 20th Sivan as a day of fasting. And I have in source number 10, this comes from the Sefer, the Todah, came from a different Sefer, which I don't have access to, and he writes the story. Chaf Sivan, the 20th Sivan, yes, became a day to commemorate the Crusades, which the Jews all over Europe, and affected the Jews in many parts of Europe, Germany, France, England, became a day to commemorate the Crusades for a number of years, even though it wasn't Tisha B'Av. And just to see the story, if you look at the Sefer Tadal, I'll summarize outside, that was the day that many Tuchbelot Saros, that day many tragedies happened in the lands of Europe, and many Xeros decrees, and many Jews were murdered, and that day was set aside as a fast day by Rabbi Natan, 40 years before Khmelnytsky. And all the Chachmei Tzorfat, all the scholars of France, and many years after, and then certainly during the time of Khmelnytsky, by the Vad Arba Aratzot, by the Council of the Four Lands, accepted this day to be a day of fasting and mourning. He says, and what happened? So, he says, and later on they accepted it even stronger, and Rabbi Yosef HaKohen wrote this down about the tragedies of the Crusades in his Sefer Emek Bracha, and he says, a story that happened in the year Blayish in France, that what happened, and when people heard this story, they trembled, even though there were so many other tragedies that happened, they trembled from this story. And what happened was is that a certain person went down to the river to give his horses to drink. And he found a non-Jew there. And this non-Jew was probably a very sick man, mentally sick. And this non-Jew was taking another non-Jewish boy, and he drowned this non-Jewish boy in the river. And this Jew saw it. And but all of a sudden the non-Jew turns around and sees someone's watching him. But he realized it was a Jew. So what did he do? He went back to his master, and he told his master, I saw a Jew drown a non-Jewish boy in the river. So they took at that time the Gedolim, Rabbi Yechiel ben David, Rabbi Kisul bar Yehuda Kohanim, the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda bar Aaron, I don't know who these names are, and they tied them to wood, and they burned them in fire, and they hit them, and they threw them into the fire, and they weren't burned. And he says, and also the other Jews, 31 souls, and they all died because their souls were burnt, but their bodies remained whole. And they died with the singing Alein L'Shabeach. And these 31 Jews were given a choice to convert to Christianity or to be killed. And as happened, of course, they agreed, they refused, they remained steadfast in their dedication to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and even though they suffered, they still died as Jews. And because of this tragedy, 20 of Sivan, in the year Tuf Kuf Lamed Aleph, was set aside by Rabbi Natan, the great rabbis of France at that time, as a tinus in the 20th of Sivan. And if you look at the expression at the very end, and the Jews at that time that were in France, and in the islands of the sea, and far beyond France, this bitter day, for a day of eulogizing and fasting, and we should never forget it, like Rabbeinu Tam said, and he said like this, this day should be a greater day of fasting than Tzom Gedalia. And it's like Yom HaKippurim. It's like the Day of Atonement. So he said, now why did he designate it like Tzom Gedalia? Because Tzom Gedalia, the fast Gedalia, is different than the rest of the four fast days. Because the rest of the four fast days happen either prior to the destruction of the temple or after destruction of the temple. But Tzom Gedalia, Tzom Gedalia happened after the destruction. So Rabbi Natan pointed out, you can have a fast day even for an event that happened after the destruction of the temple. So we see that according to Rabbi Natan, and this was the custom in France, you can have a fast day that commemorates great tragedies, the Crusades, and I pointed out, for them, the Crusades, for them, I think, was equal to the Holocaust. Because just like the Holocaust did not affect certain countries, they didn't know what was happening. That was the end of their world. And they had a fast day, and it was commemorated. I'm not sure when it was stopped. It wasn't taken as seriously as it was in previous years, but it was taken very seriously, certainly in the earlier generations in Europe, through the time, the Gzeres Tach B'Tat, time of Khmelnytsky. So we do have a corner Rabbeinu Tam. So therefore, we see a precedent. We see a precedent in our Masorah to have a day to commemorate tragedies. I would just point out that Yom HaShoah is not a day like Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day where you're not supposed to go to work. Tisha B'Av, you sit till Chatzos, on a stool, and you speak about the tragedies. It's not. I can't really say that. You know, Tisha B'Av itself is that inspiring of a day. There's one song I find to be inspiring, as everyone else does. That's Elisiyon, the very end. But Tisha B'Av is, and you know, people say they feel horrible on Tisha B'Av. You're supposed to feel horrible on Tisha B'Av. I used to say that I love Judaism, I love Torah. I said, Baruch Hashem, my Judaism is not based on Tisha B'Av, because then I would have very, very serious issues with my religion. It's a terrible day, Tisha B'Av. It's a day where you're supposed to spend the day in contemplation and thinking about all the tragedy that happened. Yom HaShoah is a very different day. Yom HaShoah, we go to work. We take a two-minute break. A two-minute break, why? To think about the heroism, the suffering. And yes, the restaurants tonight will be closed. The entertainment places will be closed. Why? Because it's very difficult to go ahead and to remember when we're distracted. Stay where Bnei Yisrael has decided, let's take away some of the distractions. This way, you know, you are forced to remember on a certain level. I'm forced to remember on a certain level what a certain level what happened. A certain level what happened. Sort of similar, I'd say that, you know, for anyone who is commemorating even a yahrzeit of a parent, we go to work on our yahrzeits, a lot of us, right? And a lot of things going on. I know for me that it's somehow it's difficult because my father's yahrzeit's on Chol HaMoed. My mother's yahrzeit, I'm not really here. But whenever I go to the cemetery to visit the graves, it gives me a time, chance to contemplate who they were, to remember them. And that's what those 2 minutes are about. To remember what they went through, their heroism, their bravery, and the fact they died as Jews. And we should not be distracted. That's what Yom HaShoah is about. So it's not really a day of mourning, it's a day of memory. They have memory, and if we want to say L'Rachav L'Klonimus, we should not add a day. That's a day of mourning. But Yom HaShoah itself is not a day of mourning. But why do we choose Chav Zayin, Chav Ches Nisan? Now, when we think about the victims of the Holocaust, those who were killed, those who perished, and those who fought back, my father pointed out that there were two types of heroes who perished in the Holocaust. He gave a shiur many years ago in Brooklyn College on Yom HaShoah. And there he explained how we can't try to understand what happened during the Holocaust. It's beyond our inquisitive grasp. It's something we will not understand until the end of days, until Mashiach comes, maybe until Tchiyas HaMesim, until the resurrection of the dead. We won't understand why it happened. However, he said that there were two types of heroes during the Shoah. Tonight is called Yom HaShoah B'Hagvura. We also remember those who fought back. There are those who died as Jews, and many died as religious Jews, but everyone who was killed understood that they were part of a nation, and they were part of the Jewish people. And they understood that connection. And even people who maybe did not were not observant, but they recognized before they were killed their connection to Jewish people, and they were Jews, and they were part of a very special nation. And we remember them, and also Hagvura. We remember those who actually fought back. Those who, in the darkest times of the Holocaust, did not despair and said the Jewish people are a force to be reckoned with. Now, we also commemorate the death of Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. It's very unclear what happened to Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. The Gemara and Maseches Yevamos tell us they died from some sort of asthma, sakra. However, Rabbi Shura Gon, in source number 14, in the Gemara Shura Gon, he says, Rabbi Akiva gave himself over to be killed after Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma was died. And Rabbi Akiva, in the second line, had many students, and they died. How did they die? He didn't say they died v'havishmada. They were wiped out. They were killed. And my father suggested, and this is actually many historians suggested, Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, they were soldiers in the army of Bar Kokhba. Because the Rambam himself says that Bar Kokhba was a general. I'm sorry, Rabbi Akiva was a general of Bar Kokhba. So it's not far-fetched to say his students were soldiers. And they were heroes who gave their life. They fought for Klal Yisrael. Anyone who fights for Klal Yisrael is a Kaddosh. Anyone who dies, the Rambam says, because he's a Jew. And anybody who fights for Am Yisrael is a Kaddosh. And that's what we're supposed to remember. We have to remember the commitment to the Jewish people. The Jewish people that the ones who fought and the ones who realized that they were being killed because they were Jews, and being Jews are very special. Why Chav Zayin Nisan? You know, March of the Living, whenever they take students to Europe, they always come back to Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because the answer to Hitler is that the Jewish people have moved on, have continued. That's the answer to Hitler. Ratam, who was Rosh Hashiva, head of a yeshiva of Torah Vadas, not a Zionist yeshiva, pointed out that whenever a tragedy happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always shows his face after to show that he still loves the Jewish people. And that began after the Chet HaMeraglim, when the Jews, it was decreed the Jews could not go into Eretz Yisrael, and that generation would die in the desert. Immediately afterwards, he gives them a mitzvah to tell them, even though I've decreed this against you, I'm giving you a mitzvah, I think it's a mitzvah of Chalav, to show that you are going to go into Eretz Yisrael. And immediately after the destruction of the first temple, when the Jewish people felt that all was lost, he provided the Yeshua salvation that the Jews should have a remnant of Jews remain in the land of Israel. And the only reason why they did not remain is because they didn't listen to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, to Jeremiah the prophet, and they decided to leave. And after the destruction of Beitar, and destruction of Beitar was a terrible, terrible destruction. And it was demoralizing, dehumanizing. Some years afterwards, they saw a revival of Torah and Judaism in the land of Israel. And after the expulsion of the Jews from Spain, Rambam points out, there was again a revival of Judaism, of Jews in the land of Tzvas. And he says, in 3 years after the Holocaust happened, there's a revival of Jews with Hakamat Medina Yisrael 3 years later, with establishing a Jewish state. Not to explain why it happened, there's nothing to do with it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows his face. He tells us that I am here for you, I am with you. And that could be why, maybe sometime after Pesach, sometime before Yom HaTzma'ut, we have to commemorate what happened. Because it's not just important to commemorate what happened, but we have to also show that the Nazis did not win. That the Jewish people have won. Now, if you go on Road 38, Has Beit Shemesh, you'll come at some point to a monument that was placed there by the Roman legions, and it says, this is destruction, Judea. When the first time I saw that, it made me very happy. Sort of like, you know, the Panovich Rav, when he saw the Arch of Titus, he said, Titus, you're gone, the Jews are still here. And I said, the Rome is not here anymore. Baruch Hashem, I moved back to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. And therefore we say the Jewish people have come back. And that's why Chav Zayin Nisan maybe is appropriate to remember the tragedy, the Gvura, the fact the Jews fought back, whether with might or with spirit, we're going to continue. And that leads to the establishment of the Jewish state. You know, in Borough Park, I think the late 60s, early 70s, Borough Park, New York, there was a certain elderly man that actually had a number on his arm, went through the camps. He would stand on a corner every day, one of the streets in Borough Park, from around 7:45 in the morning till 8:45, for 1 hour, every single day, rain or shine, for years. One day someone said to him, why are you doing this? He said, I will tell you, he says, I went through the Shoah, I went through the camps, I saw the destruction of my family, my town. He says, and how can I take revenge on Hitler? That's only by the continuity of the Jewish people. And when I stand on the corner, I count every single day. School buses full of Jewish children, whether boys or girls going to school. That's my revenge. And therefore, when Judaism continues in the land of Israel, that's the revenge of his. That's revenge against Hitler and the Nazis. And therefore, Yom HaShoah is important. Reminds us of the heroism of those who were killed, those who fought back. The heroism of all the Jewish people. But it can't stop there. It has to bring us to the next step. We see Medina Yisrael. We see the establishment of the State of Israel. And we see that Jewish identity is continuing. So Yom HaShoah is important. But it's important if we take the message out that their bravery, their courage, and their vision that many of them knew to be a continuity would only be if the Jewish identity of Jew remains in the land of Israel. And we should be merit to see the days when we won't have to commemorate tragedies anymore and everyone will have a very strong Jewish identity. Thank you very much.
Yeah. From my point of view, I think there are two questions.
Yeah.
Should we have a special day for Yom HaShoah?
Yeah.
And what that day should be?
Right.
In my opinion, the Rabbanim made a mistake in saying that this is not a question of Yom HaShoah. We should put it into the Shabbat. That it doesn't require a special day because you know we have tragedies every year of every day of the year,
right.
And therefore they try to minimize so that we don't always have tragedy. But as you pointed out, Chag Nisan, they did make an exception, and they couldn't bring themselves to make an exception for the Yom HaShoah. So you know, Asarah B'Teves, and it's a special commemoration, but with a dogma agree, and maybe the Siyum. Of Shan, the Atonis Yisrael tried to commemorate the Yom HaShoah. The Israeli government made a mistake in choosing this. I want to tell you why. They focused on the Warsaw Rebellion.
Yeah.
And they didn't accept Jews that really were killed during the Shoah till maybe the Eichmann trial. And to that point, they considered them in contempt that they went like sheep to that death.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think they chose the wrong day.
That's true. Okay.
And if the Dolan and the Vinyas soil could have come together on this issue, then I think we would have had much more unity than we have
today. That's for sure. I think part of the problem was, I think that, I don't think the Nisal meant that Yom HaShoah should be a day of mourning. Should be a day of talent. What day of mourning? Because one day, I think it meant day, and which has become, on some level, a day of speaking about the heroism that happened. I don't think it should be a day of mourning. And I'll ask you, Chaf Sivan, if you go and look, it was commemorated for a certain while, then it stopped. It was renewed during the time of Khmelnytsky, then it stopped again. The Jewish people have a very hard time, rightfully so, of having so many days of mourning. Right? Very difficult time. Very, you know. And I would say, and by the way, it's not just Chav Sivan. I would tell you, I live in Beit Shemesh, and we have Purim on Yud Dalid Adar, right? Those live in Yerushalayim have Purim on Tetzvav Adar. Anyone here ever try to celebrate 2 days of Purim straight? I did once. It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult. Like, Purim comes one day a year for a reason, and for the Tisha B'Av, it's very difficult. And therefore, what I meant is, I think that what should have happened was, I don't have a problem necessarily with the Chav Zayin Sivan. I think actually my father actually didn't have a problem because he felt that was a very important part. And it's Yom HaShoah and Yom HaGvura, and obviously my father was talking after the Eichmann trials. He didn't understand, this was, I think, in the late 60s, after the Eichmann trials. But I would just say that it's the Yom HaShoah, that it has to be a day, and that we go ahead and for our generation, we remember, and there's another reason why it's also important to remember the Holocaust. And I forgot to mention this, because the Jews and the rest of the world have to remember, and this is probably the most important lesson, that they belong in Eretz Yisrael. And you can't, that is probably the most important message.
I have no smart letters, but I believe that there has to be a link between Yom HaShoah and Yom HaShoah. And the fact that it's a week before, that link and makes that clear statement that if there would have been an Eretz Yisrael, Medina Israel, 20 years before, the Shoah never would have happened. And this is what could happen again.
Medina Yisrael is very, very important. Medina Yisrael is very, very important. There's no question about that. I would just tell you that, unfortunately, the Holocaust was a Gzar Din. We have no way of explaining it. My father did say, my father's ancestors, Reb Chaim, were not in favor of Zionism. I'll say that clearly. The Netziv was. My father said he believed that if Chaim would have seen the Holocaust, he would have changed his mind. He said, okay, we can't make, And the fact is that one of the problems that the Jews had during the Holocaust was there was no place to go. Right? That was one of the big problems. And one thing that Medina Yisrael has showed themselves to be
A Jew always has a place to go. And you're right.
Just one more point. Yeah. Imagine in America, you have May 30th and there's no link to July 4th.
Right.
You know, there's no connection between the two.
Yeah.
I think it's clear here that there's a connection to what happens to the Jewish people when we're not in Eretz Israel.
I'd like to make a point that Bezat Hashem we're going to be celebrating Chodesh Iyar.
Right.
And Chodesh Iyar is spelled Aleph Yud Yud Resh. Ani Hashem Roifecho. Those are the Rosh Hashanahs. And there are two refuahs. And one refuah was Hei Iyar, and the other refuah was Kof Chet Iyar. Hei Iyar, the doors were opened, the Master on our